Hello and welcome to Now and Ben, where our super sub Ben Bailey-Smith brings you extra nuggets of guest interview goodness. This time, Ben chats to Black Mirror creator Charlie Brooker to celebrate the sci-fi anthology's seventh series, and Emma Corrin, star of its third episode, Hotel Reverie. They talk tech dystopia, the shipping forecast, and bowling. Keep your eye on the take feed for these interview treats every Now and Ben.
I'm here with Charlie Brooker and Emma Corrin. Charlie, let's start with you, because I'm just wondering how you felt when you picture locked on the very last frame of the very last episode you worked on in this this new series.
How did I feel? I probably needed the toilet or something. Probably something like that. Probably something really unglamorous like that. No, relieved?
That's kind of the same,
relieved,
right?
Relieved, yeah.
You're backed up for a long time.
Yeah, because it's, yeah, it's exactly like doing a poo after a long-haul flight. Oh, what a relief. Because it was a long process. Mm. Well, you know this.
Feels like six movies, do you know what I mean? And full disclosure, one of them I'm actually in.
You're very good in it too.
Well, thank
very
you.
Good
thank
in
you.
It,
we
sir.
Can do this for 15 minutes
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we'll just do that. We treat them as individual films, and we keep everyone hermetically sealed, so you guys hadn't sort of met before.
No.
No one
I
knows
didn't know anything about any
what's
of
going
others.
On. Everyone gets sort of weirdly jealous and odd about other episodes, and we claim there aren't any other episodes. But it does mean that because we keep them separate, they have different directors, they have different casts, obviously. And so as much as possible, we keep everything separate. It means that it takes a long time to make the whole season.
What was the last episode you
shot? We shot one in Canada.
Whoa.
All of the rest were shot in Britain.
And we shot one
in Canada. Just to be bloody minded about it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so we started shooting in late 23. Because it was just,
Christmas. I think it was coming up to
about Christmas.
Christmas
time.
Yeah. 23.
Yeah. 23, yeah.
That's wild.
And he was there most of the time. Was he there most of the time on Hotel Reverie?
Yeah.
Because when we were doing Reverie, we were also finishing off USS Callister.
Yes, you were.
At the same time, because I remember that was a total fantasy because, like, so we had people in spacesuits over here.
and then you're back in the 40s.
And in Cairo, so you also had, like fancy vintage outfits, fezzes and all sorts.
Yeah,
so
kinds of hats.
But it felt like being in your fantasy version of, like, a Hollywood, what it would be like if you worked in the movies.
On one of those old sets.
Yeah, because there's,
going
like...
on.
And they were doing reshoots for Gladiator 2, apparently. Just
they
near,
were,
so
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
sort of get
so
people
there's
in
There's a shark in a swimming pool next door.
Yeah, exactly, basically. So it was...
It's an interesting thing having the writer on set with you because obviously there's tweaks that can happen in the moment.
Yeah.
My most abiding memory, the one that will stay with me throughout my career, I think, is being sat at a desk in our episode and Charlie having me called a in about 30 different ways, like literally for about an hour.
Wasn't called
it's like,
for.
No, I mean, not quite right. Not quite right. Not quite right.
Therapy in a way.
Yeah.
There's a bit where you get called. That's true. There's a bit where you get called. And we wanted lots of different versions on it. It's a very different flavour from Hotel.
Very Britain. Different.
Yeah,
but
that didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this episode because I'm still kind of reeling from it because I found it so overwhelmingly sad and emotional. But can you just set it up for people who are about to dig in? Because it's quite hard to describe.
Yeah, I was going to say, please, I'll do it.
Okay, you know what? I'll do it.
I can try.
Yeah, okay, go.
So I'm going to be quite practical about it, I guess. There's a software called ReDream that has been created, which this production company called Keyworth Pictures decides to use to take an old Hollywood film, like, say, Casablanca-esque, and to sort of artificially impose a modern actor, present-day actor, into the film and remake it in real time and sort of plop them in and let that happen. And then something goes wrong with the software. And so this actor is trapped in the sort of augmented... Augmented, is that the right word?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
It's not right. the fake film world. And they're trapped in it. That everyone's alive.
Yeah. So there's a sort of Truman Show element almost. Yeah. But we also know a little bit about the actor that you're playing. So this is about to get very meta. Because
so it's like actor versus character and then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're an actor playing an actor playing a character.
Yeah. And it's the character waking up to the fact that they're an actor in this film.
Issa Rae is trapped in this film with you. And the more time you spend together, this sort of... Well, I mean, it's not sort of. It is a love affair that blooms.
Yeah. It's a love story. And the whole world is frozen around us.
Yeah.
There are just these two people who have this like unending period of time for a bit.
Yeah, your voice is so accurate. I was raised in one of those families that forced you to watch like old movies.
That's so tyrannical.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fascistic in my house about art.
I was the same. I watched a lot of old films growing up. But
so did you already have a sort of sense of that voice in your head?
Yeah, it's kind of always been one I wanted to do, like a transatlantic-esque thing. I think it's so brilliant. I just think it's absurd.
It really is, all those old movies.
It's unbelievable, but I kind of love it and I kind of miss that we don't have that. You know, when you listen to like, you turn a radio program on, you see listen to a radio program from like back then and everyone's voice is
the news reports, the Pathé news reports, my favourite.
Oh.
Reporting on the football.
Reporting on it. Have you ever listened to like a shipping forecast from when they first began?
Absolutely.
It's the most incredible thing.
How are you hearing that? That's like
this is all research.
I love the shipping forecast and at the beginning of this...
What, as in vintage ones? You go back and listen to old ones?
Of classics.
Just in case you're piloting a boat in the past.
In the 40s.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, everyone's got their
thing.
Your Spotify Wrapped for 2024 was like nothing. Shipping forecast.
Love that.
Mad
so
for it.
Niche, mad okay.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? This is probably a question for you, Charlie, but about that episode. Mm-hmm. Was it always in your mind to cast a black actor for that role?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because, you know, when I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, you've got the whole Forbidden Love thing. Mm. Obviously, you know, in the original film, we're talking about adultery. But then suddenly we see into Dorothy's life and realise that there's this Forbidden Love in her real life.
Yes.
And then there's this additional layer of her with another woman who's also a person of colour.
Yeah.
But that made me think about the 40s and 40s Hollywood being a forbidden place for actors of colour. And you think about Gone with the Wind and stuff, you know, I don't know. There seemed to be a lot of layers to it. So I'm glad that happened.
It was intentional, but also I hope worn fairly lightly within the actual story itself, because it's kind of, it's weird. It's one of those things where it's not about that, but that means it sort of is about that on some level.
You
know what I mean? Because again, I saw it very much as that the story becomes about two... I'm not a spiritual person, but two souls, two spirits that sort of meet. So it's kind of that. So I was sort of channeling. I remember, like, I wrote an episode, San Junipero, back in like whenever that was, for season 3, and that's about a sort of same sex couple that get together in a sort of virtual 1980s. And I remember then thinking, I'm just going to write about two people, because that's all I can kind of do. So in a way, I'm not, paradoxically, by not really thinking about that too much, not worrying about it, hopefully that means that what you come up with is both sort of universal and very accessible, but also it is deliberately specific at the same time.
Absolutely.
That
no, that's exactly what I felt. Because the love story stood right there at the top. But it was just that constant thing of like, oh yeah, we just didn't exist. And there's little reminders, because you might see like the black guy working at the bar.
At the bar, Or,
you know, the mysterious Arab/other kind of helper in the fez. And you're like, yeah, that was our position, basically. So it was just nice to see a nod to it. And I knew you would have done it on purpose. You know, everything I read about Black Mirror is always about the tech and the horror and, oh my God, look at where we're going and the nightmare. But, you know, last night, the double header that I watched, that I chose to watch, was, Emma, your episode, Hotel Reverie, of course, and Eulogy. Mm-hmm. And what I was left with, apart from like elements of Truman Show and a mix of Christmas Carol with Eulogy, was this sort of feeling that there's something about the human condition, right? There's like a sadness that we all have, like just from existing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do I put this? I'm jealous of my dog, okay?
Oh, 100%. I think
because
that
every day she's just like, well, I'm just doing my thing.
Living in the moment.
Death to her is going to be the ultimate surprise. It's just like, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the gift and the curse for us is that we sort of know.
Yeah,
so we're constantly looking for meaning.
Yeah.
And those two episodes, they really struck me on that level. And you know, that, like I said, there's a lot of talk about darkness and horror, but sadness. The sadness of being alive was the thing that hit me.
And the loneliness.
Not really a question, but I just wanted
to... I think you're right.
The
it's
fear
often
of being alone, which is tied into tech, but I'm not so interested in that.
I think you're right in that generally as well, over like sometimes people characterize Black Mirror as, oh, it's horrible stories about like that. And actually, there is a sort of core sadness to a lot of the stories, I think, that are going on. But hopefully moments of, I think both of those stories, so you won't have seen, again, we're talking about episodes you haven't seen. Eulogy is, in many ways, a companion piece to Revenant.
I thought
they both
I was just guessing. And they were a perfect double bill. I plucked it at random.
The past and they're evocative and so on and so forth. But, you know, so hopefully they're bittersweet because I think they're both...
Bittersweet's a very good with, I think Hotel Ruby is very bittersweet.
Melancholy. You get to say melancholy.
Melancholy.
And they all have moments of, as ever, you know, laugh out loud. I mean, the direction for Brandy, for Issa's character in Hotel just constantly made me laugh.
It's so funny, isn't it?
In amongst that horrifying sadness.
In this world that's like a bit insane and a bit ridiculous.
And similarly with Eulogy, you've got another little guide.
Yes, you're right.
Like Awkwafina, you know, for Paul Giamatti's
character. Well, we had in Reverie, we've got two duos. So we've got you and Brandy, we've got you and Issa, like in the film, and there's Awkwafina and Harriet in the sort of control room. And then in Reverie, it's Paul Giamatti and Patsy Ferrin is his guide through his memory world.
Yeah, so I think you'll love it. And if you watch it like I did, like as an accidental double bill with yours,
they feel like sort of companion pieces about sort of evocative things. He's stepping into old photographs from the 1990s.
Oh my God.
It's dope.
Oh,
honestly,
that would
it's
so
really
cool to do.
It's really cool.
Hey, look, you all got cool episodes, right?
No, that's awesome.
No,
you know when someone asked you, like, if you could have a superpower or wake up with an ability, I feel like stepping into photographs would be so cool.
It would be. Well, and the other thing is that these are old photos because, of course, now you can, if one of the things we were thinking about really early on is that because you used to have just a handful of photographs that sort of documented your past. Yeah, you'd only have like six or something of, and they'd be imperfect because people would be blinking or there'd be like red eye or it'd just be overexposed or blurry or whatever. Whereas now, obviously, photos, you can just keep taking them.
Do you remember the last three or four in your pack were always just pictures of the fireplace or the car on the way to Kodak.
Rubbish.
You just need to finish
the
film.
Yeah, your shoes.
Yeah.
We even have that sort of in there. There's a photo like that.
Yeah,
it becomes one of the a key sort of moment in the story. But again, I don't know how that will play with a younger generation that only know camera phones.
Screw them. Get them to do research like Emma did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. Get them listening to the shipping forecast.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Honestly,
this series is a triumph. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. I haven't watched USS yet, but I'll do that tonight. And
do your homework.
Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to watch it next week with you.
Come to the screening.
Yeah.
That's a sequel,
I'll be there.
Right? Is that on the same night that the Hotel Everyone is?
It is. We're taking over a multiplex as well. We're taking over a multiplex and a BFI.
Bowling.
Bowling.
Is that what a multiplex?
There's going to be bowling, champagne, and then afterwards we're all going to.
Did we not say multiplex?
I feel like a multiplex makes you think of bowling, but I don't know.
We're all going to get together and listen to the shipping forecast.
Bowling?
I'd like to go bowling, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I've had the wind up for the past 2 minutes. Good to see you. I'll see you next week.